Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, the Sunday night / Monday morning version, wherever you happen to be listening or watching us. We are sponsored by WinBet. I appreciate that their sponsorship all year long on the podcast. I'm Scott Jenstad, joined as always on Sunday nights by Jeff Erickson. If you could please rate and review the podcast, we would greatly appreciate that also. It goes a long way to helping people find out about the podcast, find us, rate us, review us, all that kind of good stuff. Jeff, it is first Sunday of the NFL season. It's always a little wild and wacky, try and catch up on the baseball, do your fab, all that kind of stuff. But how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. My baseball teams could be better. They could be, it's just one of those things where, the Reds are losing. My main event teams can't get any pitching. It's a little frustrating, but that's all.
Yeah, my one main event team is kind of in the mix, is kind of making a little bit of a run, but it's going to be, I don't think I can win the league, but I have a chance at third. I had some huge pitching blowups this week, and it's hard to find pitchers that don't suck.
Yeah, it is.
Even guys that like give me like six innings, four earned runs, I can deal with some strikeouts. Like, it's hard to find guys that aren't going 2 2/3 with seven earned runs right now. There's so many teams scoring runs, like Toronto's scoring 26 runs a day or whatever they do.
Right.
And I had Hyunjin Ryu yesterday. He gave up 7 runs and 2 1/3 or something. It's like, dude, just stay in the game for 5. It's an automatic win when you're hitting against Baltimore.
Yeah, exactly. It's super frustrating, and I'm going to get whipsawed. Like, we had Josiah Gray and his two-stepper last week.
That was a bad one. That was a bad one.
Now someone's going to swoop in and he'll probably be good this week. It's just like one of those. And I feel like I'm getting kind of whipsawed on this, and I'm getting really frustrated. And the pitching has been tough. Like, my hitting's holding strong. I got like 60 points in hitting in our main event league, better of the two. But like 39 in pitching, and it just seems like every day we just can't get a win. It's frustrating. Yeah.
So you're around 100 points, though. I mean, that's in a spot where if you make a run, you get a cash spot pretty good there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. The thing is, a week ago, a week ago Saturday, we're at 110 points. Oh, on Sunday, we're at 103. It's like every Sunday, it's been tough.
What is like the leader way ahead? Like, where are you in that mix?
Oh, that's the Guilds League. Yeah, he's killing us. And now Zimmerman is past us in second, and we're 10 points out of that. We're in fourth right now. Okay. So, but you know what? It's wild because it changes a lot more than you think for September.
Yeah. If you're in second, you wouldn't feel comfortable. So that in fourth, you should feel that you can still make a run. So it's right. We got 3 weeks left. I've seen a lot of movement in many leagues over the last 3 weeks. So I'm trying to get there myself. It was a tough pitching week. It's hard to find. I thought Fab this week was probably the toughest all year to find anybody that like seemed remotely interesting. We'll talk about some names, but it's really digging, and you're really trying to find guys right now. Luckily I have Max Scherzer on my team, so at least that was a bonus this week. That was nice. But before we get into Fab and Week 25, I want to ask you, just because we're talking about our teams and stuff, what kind of lessons are you taking from this season? We got 3 weeks left, so I know we still want to talk about the season, but like, what have you? what are you taking from this season to kind of make yourself better next season? You know, there's always ways to improve. Obviously, you've done this forever, and you're very good at it. But, you know, what do you think you could do? What have you learned this year that it maybe is going to be a little different?
You know, I still haven't cracked that nut, though. I'm not quite sure. I mean, one of the things is, you know, pitching's falling apart. But some of that is just bad luck, too. Like Giolito getting that hamstring thing right now on my best team. Yeah. Darvish going through a month-long period where he couldn't pitch. Now he seems like at least his last start he was okay, so that's good. Yeah. I lost Bassett. You know, don't draft a pitcher that takes a line drive up the middle, I guess. Right.
Yeah, there's – I mean, you know, that was a great pick. He was pitching well and getting wins. I think he was leading the AL in wins when he got hurt.
Yeah. We all have misses too. We all have bad luck. Like I took a ninth-round pick and set it on fire with Sergio Sanchez. I mean, it happens, but
– Sixto Sanchez?
Sixto. Sergio Sixto. God, I'm tired. Very tired, by the way. Sorry.
You said Sergio, and I was trying to figure out who I was missing to get that.
Yeah.
I was like,
I'm getting all geared up for the Ryder Cup. That's it.
Romo Garcia.
Hit the ball already, Sergio.
I was cycling through them in my head, but I did the same thing. I one of my two mains, I took Sixto in the ninth round also, and it just – I don't know. I mean, one of those that it's a young pitcher. I guess he can always get hurt, but like the fact that he pitched no innings. I mean, that's just
none at all.
Zero. So, I've learned that it takes a lot of work to do well in these leagues. We've talked a bunch of times how I just kind of had a weird rush of work in my regular life that kind of took over in February and March. I didn't have as much time to prep as I needed, and it matters. Like it just, I know. A ton about baseball, a ton of all these players, and more than, you know, a random person walks to the table. But in these, like, NFBC main event leagues, everybody's at that baseline. It's just, I think it clearly matters. And there's just, like, those little things, like, in the 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th round, like, I'm like, oh, I know exactly who I want. And there, I was like, oh, I'll just take these guys because they're there. And I think that it takes work to do well. And I don't think that I quite had the time to put enough in. And I think that's affected me.
You know, I'll say one other thing I've learned, and this is a positive learning experience. I'm better with a good partner, and Tim Schuler is a very good partner. I usually hate having a partner in my fantasy baseball leagues because I want all the control. I want to make all the moves.
Right.
And it, you know, I've partnered with other people who are really clearly smart at what they're doing, but at the same time, I've had this control thing. But
was that shade at me right there?
No, not at all. Actually,
we partnered once on something, didn't we?
Yeah, last year though. That's last year was weird.
And it was more of like a COVID charity thing that we did. We donated money and stuff. So
it wasn't the NFBC website. Yeah. You know, there's lots of reasons, and it was a weird year.
Website was not good. It's just, and that's a good positive thing to learn. Will you have him share both your teams? Do you like having one solo and one partner? How do you think
he and I shared both main event teams, and I'm very happy for that. I mean, it's huge for FAB. It's really huge for FAB. It kind of like, I can't let my partner down.
Is it huge for the actual like work time of doing it? Or is it huge for like the discussion aspect of both, like bouncing both ideas back?
Work time. And then just like the back and forth, it tempers me a little bit when I get, you know, when I want to overbid on a player, there's times when I'm in focus and I realize, okay, we need to go for it here.
Right.
I think our FAB has been better this year.
Yeah, no, that's a good thing. That's a good lesson to learn. I mean, obviously, it depends on the partner. You have the right person that everybody can kind of take their roles and do stuff. But that's a good lesson. I didn't think I was going to get good lessons from this, but I like it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing is, you know, we learn positive and negatives, right, all along. Yeah. Positive reinforcement, negative reinforcement. Same thing like when you're coaching or whatever. So, right. Yeah.
Yeah, my I have a couple more, but my second one is like I think I get stuck into I draft a player and say the 12th round, and I just kind of leave that player in no matter what. And I don't like I just don't look as close like the bottom half of my roster. I'm looking really close, and I'm like I'm churning, and I'm when I do FAB, I look at the Fangraphs and Baseball Smart Profiles, all these guys I'm picking up. But like someone like say Carlos Santana as an example, like I had him in my one of my main event teams, and he was my corner, my first baseman. I just kind of left him in. I knew he wasn't doing that well, but I was like, oh, it's Carlos Santana. I'm just going to leave him in. And like, I looked, you know, 3 months in and he just was not doing anything. And there's
awful.
It should have been 6 weeks earlier that I realized that just because his name's Carlos Santana and I like him and he's done well in the past and I always think he's a good value. Like 6 weeks earlier, I should have figured out that he's not an every week player for me.
Right. Not only that, but knowing that, okay, he's a corner infielder for me, and he's doing this. I need to realize that Frank Schwindels of the world are sitting out there just waiting to be plucked. Oh, I'm good. I'm fine. I've got Carlos Santana. He's playing every day. Yep. No problem, right? okay, you got 2021 Carlos Santana. Look again.
Yeah. That look again is very key because I just get into spots where I'm like, oh, I know that player. He's fine. He's my first baseman. He's my corner. I just kind of leave him in there every week. And I don't even, like you said, I don't even look for new ones because, oh, I don't know. He's healthy. He's playing. I'm good.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
My other thing, and like, it's kind of thing we talked about in the preseason. Like, I don't really focus a lot on the first couple rounds because I just think like I know all those players. Like, and people talk about the first couple rounds so much, and it kind of bores me. Like, especially when you have your draft pick. Like, if you're picking nine, like the first six players. Like, I just don't need to study them that closely. But I wonder if I need to work more on the first and second round because I have struggled a lot in the first second rounds over the last like 5 or 6 years. I've had really good teams or really bad teams, but it seems like a common factor. I don't know if I'm just been unlucky in their rounds, and probably some of it is that, but like I just don't like to attribute it to that. I just wonder if maybe I'm thinking like I know all these players, I can just pick one and be fine, and as long as they're healthy, I'm good. But like I've got burned. I mean, I don't know if I could have figured out that Trevor Story wasn't gonna be a great play this year. I don't know if I could have figured out that Christian Yelich wasn't gonna be a great play, but it's been a lot of years. My first and second round picks have been less than glorious.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you, let's dive into the specifics on those players, because I mean, I didn't really hear too many people talking down Trevor Story. Maybe just a little bit once they traded away Arenado. But
that was like, you know, maybe he's not worth the 10th pick, but maybe 3 or 4 picks later. But no, like,
right,
he's going to hit 245 and hit whatever he has, 18, 9. He might be up to 20 home runs now, but whatever it may be. I just wonder, I don't know. When it happens year after year, I miss on a lot of first and second round picks. And then usually fine after that. I don't know if I'm missing something, if I'm not focusing on the rounds enough, just because I just assume I know a lot about the players, or maybe I just have hit a run of running into guys who slumped or got hurt or whatever it may be.
You know, I'll, to be honest, I don't think you're doing a whole lot wrong. I think you're being too harsh on yourself. This is my first guess. I mean, even look at Story. I mean, okay, it hasn't been the greatest season, but you're still talking about a guy that's 21 homers and 18 stolen bases, 68 and 77. That's not killing you. I mean, it's not what you paid for in the first round, obviously.
Right.
But you're getting the category juice. You're just not getting quite as much as you thought you were getting in. He's not killing you. Maybe you could have said, you know, Yelich, you might be able to make an argument that maybe you need to take another look at him.
You can make the argument because you took the other side of the argument in the preseason. I mean, we talked about him and you thought that he was not, I forget what you had him ranked, but what, 25, 30, something like that. I mean, I'm ballparking, but you definitely did not think he should be the 10th player taken. And I probably should have looked deeper into whatever you looked into and realized that, but
it was pretty thin. I'll be honest. It wasn't like a deep look. It was okay. He's striking out a lot more
but enough there that, like, you know, you're not taking him in the third round. You're taking him as the 10th overall player. Like, is there enough there to maybe just take someone else and move on? And the thing with Story is, like, I think Story probably gets a pass because I don't think we could have like anticipated that he would go fully shut down mode, which he has. I mean, he's attempted 2 stolen bases since the All-Star break, and I assume that's a effort, want to do it thing, because he's has 1 steal since the break.
That's actually a really good point. I didn't realize it was that severe.
It's 17 at the All-Star break. He has 149 games.
Yeah, I mean, the trade deadline, we all know he shut it down that day of. He fully expected to get traded at the trade deadline, didn't. And realizes, okay, fine, I got to play out the season. And there's nothing to play for in Colorado. Right. I mean, they're really awful.
And I assume that, like, when he goes up to the plate, like, he's an athlete that's competitive and never would get where he was if he wasn't competitive. He's trying really hard. But the stolen base thing is, like, an effort extra. Like, maybe he just, like, I don't need to slide head first and potentially hurt myself right now for the team.
Right.
I'm obviously reading into that. I'm psychoanalyzing the guy, but 2 attempted stolen bases in 49 games when you had 21 in the first 77. Either he's feeling something physically where he's not feeling well to run, or he's just decided he's shutting that part of his game down.
Is he wrong for thinking that way?
I mean, I think he's human for thinking that way.
I mean, look, seriously, why should he risk it?
Yeah, no, I think you're actually right. Like, that's one of those things, like, he's got to go hit and play and all that, but if you don't need to steal a base where maybe you slide weird and pull something or tear something and it affects your next contract. I think he's probably feels like he's given Colorado everything he has. And maybe these last 2 months, he doesn't need to do quite that.
And Colorado hasn't given him everything that they have.
Yeah.
There's something to that. You know, Colorado is actually not terrible right now. They're 12 games under 500. They're nowhere near the universe of the Arizona Diamondbacks, for instance, or the Pirates or the Nationals even.
They're really good at home. Weirdly, they just don't lose. It's crazy how good they are at home.
Yeah, and remarkably horrible on the road. I mean, it couldn't be. They're 18 games over 500 at home, and they're 30 games under 500 on the road. That is the weird. I mean, yes, we all know they have this huge split, but you know their pitchers still have to pitch at Coors Field. Yeah, it's crazy.
The craziest thing is that they still have a better record on the road than the Diamondbacks do.
Yeah, yeah.
Diamondbacks are 19-53 on the road.
I mean, it's unfathomably bad how Arizona has become.
It's hard to do in baseball. Like, you're going to win some games. You're going to have some well-pitched games. You're going to hit. 19-53 is tough to do.
Yeah. You know, the Baltimore Orioles are a laughingstock franchise right now, right? You know, they gave up three touchdowns today and a two-point conversion.
Yeah.
They're only one game worse than the Diamondbacks. And the Diamondbacks, some people thought were like a credible threat to be at least 500 this year.
You didn't see them 46 games back of the Giants in April?
Of the Giants,
yeah,
too.
Right? Which is amazing because, by the way, the Dodgers never – the Dodgers seem to win a lot, and they just don't – they never gain games, they lose some games.
Never.
The Giants never lose. It's insane.
They've won seven in a row. Yeah. It's crazy. They had that big showdown series. Dodgers, you know, I think they tied them at one point, and now they've won seven in a row. Like,
yeah, I think they went. I think they might have gone up a half game, and then they got it right back, and now they're two and a half back. The crazy thing about division is the Padres are 18.5 back of the Giants.
Yeah, yeah. It's Padres are hanging on for dear life in the wild card race. They're tied with the Reds still. That's kind of a race to the bottom, though. I mean, neither team's playing well.
If you are Dave Roberts, I assume Max Scherzer is your wild card game pitcher.
Yeah, it sucks to kind of waste him for that game, but yeah.
Yeah, but you have Walker Buehler to throw game one of the, I mean, it's just there. It's a luxury to be making those decisions. But at least you have having a second ace where you don't feel like it doesn't hurt quite as much to burn your first one is pretty big.
Right. We'll see what they get out of Kershaw in the last couple of weeks here. Yeah. But
if the Yankees make that game, they throw Cole, and then all of a sudden, what the hell do they do to start a series? Like that matters a lot.
Especially with Taillon hurt right now.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, the AL wild card is literally three East teams within a game of each other. It's a wild something.
What a run by Toronto. Oh my gosh.
I'm rooting for them. I mean, I just, you know, Red Sox, Yankees are always there. I think it'd be fun to see Toronto. They can just get any kind of pitching down the stretch. Their offense is so crazy on fire right now that,
I think they're
the best team right now. They're definitely playing the best, obviously. They've started another streak. They won three in a row now. But I mean, they're 140 runs better in run differential than the Yankees are.
Yeah, but 80 of them happened this weekend. So, I mean,
it's a good point. It's a fair point. Yeah. They're playing Baltimore. They're facing Baltimore's pitching is almost not fair.
Yeah. I mean, Toronto is team far.
Baltimore has nobody to get those guys out. It's just, it's insane to watch because they just have they can't get them out.
And I truly feel bad for the front office in Baltimore and especially the coaching staffs because they didn't sign up for this, or maybe they had an idea, but this is all ownership driven. It's, you know, waiting for Angelos to kick the bucket and then for them to sell the team. And
you look at those box scores, like the starter goes three and gives up seven. The next guy comes in, pitches two, gives up seven more. It's just, it's rough.
Yeah. Well, last night they have a no hitter going into the seventh inning.
Yeah.
And then they give up 11 runs.
Toronto's been crazy with some of their wins. A couple of those wins against the A's were crazy. Like they've had some fun comeback. I mean, and then you get the A's who lose two out of three at home to Texas. Another bullpen utter disaster on Saturday. I don't know. 3 weeks left. They're three games back. I mean, it's still in reach, but boy, they feel like a just dead man walking right now.
Kind of tough times for our Reds and our A's right now.
Yeah, I mean, when I don't feel good about a 7-2 lead. What was it yesterday? 6-2 lead in the eighth against Texas. I mean. Yeah. And Jonah Heim and Leota Tavares are hitting bombs off your bullpen. Like, it's just – Cole Irvin hadn't pitched well. Pilot finally throws seven really good innings, and they lose. It's just it feels not meant to be. I'm not giving up. You still got 3 weeks left. You can get hot, but – and they tend to, like, get hot at weird times, but that bullpen is an absolute disaster.
It is, and it's not for lack of trying to improve it, too. That's the thing that's so weird.
Yeah, I mean, they signed Chafin, who has been really good. He blew up on it was mostly Romo, but he came in and kind of added some fuel to the fire on Saturday. He's been really good otherwise. But I mean, everybody else in that pen is just the Trevor Rosenthal thing was just a bad break. And you know, you sign your closer, your most expensive player, and he doesn't pitch an inning. I mean, it's you could blame the front office some, but at least they did try and prove the bullpen. It just didn't work.
Yeah, this isn't like the Reds just giving away Iglesias. You know, it's different.
So let's jump into a little bit quick look at week 25 before we get into Fab. Not a huge week. We only have, it looks like, six teams or seven games. The Padres, Giants, Rangers, Rays, Astros, and Yankees. If you have any Brewers, they do play five games this week, so they're definitely at a disadvantage this week. They're the only team with five. No ALDHs in NL Parks. Just nice. All the interleague series are in AL Parks. Looking at schedules, though, it's a rich get richer week. The Astros, four at Texas, three against Arizona is a really good setup for them. The Yankees get one against Minnesota, three at Camden Yards, and three against Cleveland. Like, that's a really good setup, too. The Rays get Toronto and Detroit. And Toronto's good, but you're pitching, you don't really see too scared of it. And the Red Sox get Seattle and Baltimore. There's going to be a lot of runs in the AL East this week.
Yeah. By the way, Bishop Sycamore decided to have a baseball team, and they just no-hit the Indians, too. So
it's crazy. They've been no-hit three times, right?
Yeah, and four, really, if you count the Tampa Bay seven-inning game.
Oh, that's right. And then I think today, like, Eric Lauer went the first five with no hits. And I was like,
it's insane.
We're doing this again. It's wild. I mean, they have a couple of good hitters there, but they just, it's rough there. I mean, three times in 1 year is, I think that's a new record. I don't think it's ever been done before.
Dude, we've had the nine no hitters this year. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's so weird. Usually with the end of the year, and I can, like, remember the exact, like, two or three no hitters, I couldn't even come close to naming the nine guys who threw no hitters right now.
Oh, I know. And
not even close.
No, no.
Is nine counting the seven inning ones or no?
I don't think so. I thought I saw it as nine.
There are two of those, right?
Yeah. I mean, just, I don't know. It's just crazy.
The Rays one and then Bumgarner, right? With the 2 7 inning ones?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it should be. I mean, we got 3 weeks left. Obviously, we talked about this last week, but you are, at this point in the year, you are really focusing on categories. Like, I went through my teams tonight and, like, really figured out what, where I can gain. If I'm three runs behind, if I'm 30 runs behind, it fully makes a difference who I'm starting, who I'm picking up, what I'm looking for. You know, I need strikeouts. So I kind of made my, who I was okay picking up for two starts, I extended that a little further out than I normally do, just because, you know, 8 to 10 strikeouts means a lot to me. And I risking a blow up, you know, that might hurt me in ratios, but I know I can gain in Ks. And, sometimes when you're in, third or fourth place, you got to go for it. Cause there's no, if you get blown up and don't catch up in the Ks anyway, it's not going to matter.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I mean, I could play it safe and throw relievers out there and just stick where I am, but there's just no point in doing that.
Yeah, exactly.
So you guys, you mentioned you're in fourth. Do you guys have exact categories that you can really go aggressive after, or how are you guys kind of attacking these last 3 weeks?
It is all about the starting pitching.
Okay.
That's all it is. I mean, we just have to get some wins. We have to get some Ks, and we're hurting on all that.
Are the ratios gaps in between there, or can you really gain or fall on ratios too?
So ERA, we've climbed all the way to 3.93. I mean, we're really bad now. Next one above us is 3.83, and below us is 4.02.
Like, actually going up in the number of, not your ERA number, not your number in the standings.
Yeah, I mean, the thing for us is it's all about wins. We're sitting at 73 wins. We are tied with three other teams with 73 wins. There's a team below us at 72. There's two teams above us at 74. Guilds is at 76. Another team's at 77. If we get wins,
that's why you guys move up and down so far every day. Then,
yeah,
that can be a 3 or 4 point move just on a win or two.
Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right.
Are you going after two starting pitchers that you would never touch normally? Or are you trying to, like, find some middle reliever wins? Like, how are you? What are you doing?
We are going after pitchers I've never heard of before. You know, guy on our outline is Dietrich Enns. I mean, justifies the means of us doing it. But other than that, I mean, the thing is, I'll be honest, this time of year is really tough. School has started. I'm coaching soccer. My kids are playing volleyball. Football just started.
You got 10 hours of football on TV today. And while that is, like, not life impacting, like, it impacts your life. You're watching your
agent. Yeah.
Attention. You work professionally full time in this world. Like, you have to know what happened today.
Right. And the Baseball Grid Channel doesn't exist on Sundays now. Yeah. So there's that. So you really have to affirmatively go look for all these guys.
Yeah. So let's get into Fab. But first, a note from our sponsor, WinBet. There's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire. It's making good decisions. And even more so, it's making the right decision. Listen up. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WinBet, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WynnBET is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. WynnBET brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more all at your fingertips. Do you want a break from sports betting? Head into WynnBET's digital casino and take a spin on roulette, double down in blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at baccarat. WynnBET is currently available in 6 states, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, while rapidly expanding. At WynnBET, the possibilities are limitless. WynnBET is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WynnBET now. That's W-Y-N-N-B-E-T. WynnBET, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcast.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So I put Dedrick Enns first in our list just because I find him really interesting. He's 30 years old. I looked at 2019 AAA. Dude had a 16% strikeout rate. 2021 AAA, so this year with the Rays organization, 32% strikeout rate.
Jeez.
It's the weirdest, wackiest thing. I assume maybe he's increasing velocity or figured something out. Maybe working with the Rays figured something out. Maybe during the COVID, the alt-site kind of stuff, he figured something out. But I don't know. I mean, the only problem is it's the Rays, and he probably will throw four innings. They said that he's good to throw up to 75 pitches. I took a couple stabs just because I liked the strikeout upside. I like the fact that he plays for a good team, pitches for a good team, good defense behind him. 75 innings is tough, though. Like, that's probably four innings, but maybe a shot at five. He's super efficient. And if he strike out that many guys, maybe he won't be that efficient.
Yeah. They're kind of pushed into this situation. McClanahan went on the IL. Archer went on the IL. They gave away Rich Hill for reasons. I don't know. It's tough. I doubt that he's going to go more than four innings, though. That's the tricky part.
I mean, they're nine games up, so they have no – I mean, McClanahan and Archer, like, they have no reason to bring those guys back until they're fully ready. And I kind of get the feeling that McClanahan was like a, hey, take a break kind of thing anyway.
Yeah.
I think it's smart. I mean, the Dodgers did it. The Dodgers have done it for a couple of years to do with the 10-day DL. It's just a smart thing to do. But I don't know. I found him a little interesting. But you're right. I think the concern is that he goes out there and throws four innings, and they're up 4-0. He leaves the game, and that will be frustrating.
Yeah. So really wasn't in on him, but I can see it. I mean, last time out, he was great against the Tigers. And that's who he's facing this week. Six Ks and four innings, no hits, no walks. But he was cruising. They still pulled him after four. Yeah.
It was the rematch against the Tigers, which I liked. I mean, the Tigers have not been a complete rollover. They're like 8 games under 500. They've actually been better than I think we thought. But you know, still a matchup that you do want to try and attack as you're kind of streaming guys down the stretch here. Luis Gil was taken in a lot of minutes. I think he was like 70% owned, available in a lot of 12 teamers. Getting called up, he's taken Jameson Taillon's spot in the rotation. To get called back into the rotation. Scheduled to throw twice this week, both at home against Minnesota and Cleveland. Obviously, the Yankees are a team that can score some runs. If you need wins, he's an interesting guy. The ERA has been really good, but holy hell, the walks are scary right now. He has 11 walks in his last two outings.
That's seven in his last outing. Yeah. It is Minnesota. It was Toronto last time and Boston before that. Now he gets Minnesota and Cleveland. We all know. We just alluded to Cleveland as maybe a team you want to face.
Maybe attacks the zone a little more against those teams than he would against the big boppers on the other two.
Minnesota can hurt you, though.
They can. They're,
that's the one thing. I mean, we talked last week about Jorge Polanco and just how good he's been.
His second half's been awesome.
Every day I look up, boom, he's done it again.
Yeah, he's having a huge second half. 29% strikeout rate for Gil. I mean, we've seen him pitch. He throws like 99, throws 100, so he can get you there. The ERA is 1.42. I think that a little bit of fortune in there considering his walk rate. But you're looking for wins. You're looking for two starts. He was kind of at the top of my list where he was available.
Yeah, he went for like $17 in my most competitive main event league.
Yeah, that's about. I mean, and nobody has money left, so that's a pretty big bid right there.
Yep, and you get two starts this week.
Yeah, I mean that's big for the strikeouts and the wins. If you're attacking those, it's hard to find two start guys that you're even remotely a little bit excited about watching when you see
them. Right, then he might not start again if Taillon's back in time. So
that's the other thing. That is possible. Maybe he gets some bullpen innings for you over the weekend, something like that. But
right,
a guy we talked about last week pitched well again this week. He only 23% owned in the NFBC 12 event league is Joe Ryan. This dude looks good. He had one hit against the Cleveland, but seven
who
innings.
He faces next time out.
Yep. That's also true. Seven innings, one hit, no walks, four strikeouts. Dude looks good. This seems like he's actually a pretty legit prospect / pitcher right now.
Yeah, he does. Only thing is, like, they're not going to try to get him for two starts this week, but you would get two starts the following week, which are against the Cubs. You know, believe it or not, the Cubs are playing good ball right now.
Yeah, but suddenly Ian Happ decided he's going to be Ian Happ again after everybody in the world had dropped him.
Exactly. Fred and I were talking about that on Tuesday, and he tore up the Reds the next 2 days too. But he gets the Cubs and then the Blue Jays next week if he does get two starts. But things change. But that's what he's tentatively lined up for next week. So, the thing is, it's either get Cleveland and the Blue Jays this week or you get the Cubs and Blue Jays next week.
Yeah, it's just the Blue Jays. That's just not someone I want to get. But if it's part of a two-start week, sometimes you got to suck it up. And he's been pitching really well. I think I watched his last start against Cleveland. He looked the part. He looked really good.
Yeah.
Did you even think about entertaining John Gray? The Rockies are on the road this weekend. He has two starts, obviously better than being in Coors. Pitched really well this week. He faced the Giants. I know he gave three runs, but in Coors, 8 strikeouts, 5 innings, 6 hits and a walk. Like, I'll take that outing in Coors against obviously the Giants, who are the best team in baseball. He's at Atlanta this week and at Washington. The first one is a little bit scary. The second one's a little less scary as, Washington's not quite the team they were, a few months ago or last year. 4.2 ERA in 130 innings. Strikeout rate's kind of middling at 23%. Walk rate's kind of middling at 9.5%. He's always John Gray, but it's two starts, and he might strike some guys out.
The weird thing about John Gray is he's got a 1.54 whip on the road. He is way worse on the road than at home. 1.15 at home, 1.54 on the road.
That's wild. That's not a good whip.
No. I didn't go aggressively against him. I mean, for him, I should say. Probably won't go aggressively against him either. But
I had $6 on him and lost to a $7 bid, and I wonder if maybe someone saved me for myself.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes, someone intervenes for you there.
It does. It does happen. I wish people had intervened on many other of my bids this year, but that would be nice. Did you do anything with that Angels guy, one of the best names in baseball, Packy Naughton? Two starts a week. The first one's at the White Sox, which is not ideal, although he pitched really well against the Padres in San Diego this week. 5 innings, 2 hits, 2 walks, no earned runs, 5 strikeouts. I looked at his year in AAA so far this year, and the ERA is like 4.8 over 56 innings. Strikeout rate is 21%. As I got deeper into Packy Naughton, I was less interested in anything but his name.
Yeah. I just imagine all the fun and hilarity and a road game against the White Sox. I just think of like Tom Pachoric saying Naughton all the time there, but going old school there. But Greg Norton, Packy Naughton. Lefty in New Comiskey. I'm not going to call it by its proper name. New Comiskey, it should be all the time.
You know, it's great. I don't know what its proper name is, and I'm good with that.
Yeah, I am too. So another sponsor we'll never get, but that's okay.
Sorry, but, I just wrote a sponsor for your company. I'm sorry.
A lefty against the White Sox in Chicago.
Yeah. Tim Anderson's back. Hugo Anderson. Pass. Anderson, Eloy, Abreu, Luis Robert, Grandal hitting from the right side. Like, I'd say Moncada, but he's not going to do any damage. But yeah.
Not on my watch, that's for sure. Yeah,
it's just that is not a place I want to throw a lefty in. And that's, I just backed off once I kind of thought about all that. But yep. Two starts again and off a good start. I'm sure some people picked him up, but it was not me.
Nope, not me here either.
What about Drew Rasmussen in Tampa has been pitching really well. And this is a situation where he's slated to pitch twice this week, but the first one's at Toronto. And I'm like, oh, my God, here we go again. But he's been pitching really well. Again, it's the Rays. He doesn't go deep, but he's thrown five innings in two of his last three. But he's made five starts in a row since they brought him out from the bullpen. He's given up one earned run in four of those, zero in another. So, I mean, this is a guy that has – even if he didn't go five, he's not hurting you, which is, I think, there's some value in that too. Tough matchup. It's at Toronto, but the second starts homing against Detroit. You got like your chances for getting a, if you can get through five, a good chance getting a win with, you know, Tampa bats against Detroit pitching. Strikeout rate's about 25%. Walk rate's about 9%. It just kind of falls in that middling range, but he's been pitching really well.
He has been, but there's not much K upside. And, you know, you have to be really chasing wins to kind of go after him and hoping that he gets five.
Yeah, you have to hope he gets exactly five because he's not thrown more than five.
No, it's the Rays we're talking about here.
So who did you go after? You mentioned you guys picked up some starters you've never heard of. Who did you go after that I haven't heard of?
I'm being a little facetious, but I have heard of them. But Jake Woodford and Taylor Hearn.
I like Taylor Hearn.
Yeah, it's just one start, though.
I picked him up 2 weeks ago in the main event. He's made two really good starts. He pitched against the A's today, pitched well, got a win. And I think it was against the Angels last start. He gave up, he pitched really well. They gave up a two-run homer to Joe Adell in the seventh, like right before he got out of the game. But I like him too. I feel like Texas is going like an eight-man rotation, though. He throws like every Sunday or every Saturday. Like there's no turnover there at all. You're never going to get two starts. But he's at least been decent. But I think he faces the White Sox this week, right?
Yeah. Yes, he does. At least it's in Texas.
It is, but still a lefty again. We're talking the same situation as with your boy Packy.
True.
It scares me that lineup. I think I still have him. I haven't dropped him because he pitched so well, and I think he has a decent outing a decent start the week after. So I kept him, but I'm not starting him this week.
Yeah, well, I mean, basically we're playing like 8-6 offsuit right now. We're trying to find these guys and trying to hit a flop. And
are you going like grim. Eight starters and a reliever? Or are you going super extreme with your build?
It's possible. Possible. I think we should. But we lost McClanahan. We lost Stephen Brault. I mean, when you lose Stephen Brault, what are you? You're not really losing.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're probably going to have to load up. We went pretty heavy on closers last week, but wins are where it's at. Hopefully, we're going to get Giolito back this week. That would be big.
He's supposed to pitch Tuesday, right?
Yep, supposed to. So we'll get him going.
It'll only be one start, but I think he's scheduled to throw two the week after. So if you get three starts out of him the next 2 weeks, that's pretty big.
Yeah, that's true.
Relievers, if you know, there's a lot of leagues where saves are close. We mentioned Andrew Chafin before, did blow the save on Saturday for the A's, but pitching well, I think he's the only guy that Melvin remotely trusts right now.
And how can you blame him?
You can't. So I think that he can go two innings. I don't know. They're a team that should still be in some games. They're in a lot of games. They don't win a lot of games, but they're in them. If I'm betting on the next save in Oakland, it's Chafin for me.
Yeah, I think you're right.
What about in Baltimore? We talked about how bad that team is, but Tyler Wells had two saves. We did blow the game against Toronto, but like they've been cycling through some guys. I even forget the guy. You had him in the first 6 weeks of the season. Garcia? No, what was his name?
Castro. Former Oakland A.
Yeah, he was like 36 or something, right?
Is it Miguel Castro? It was changeup off of a changeup.
It was a lot of changeups.
This is embarrassing. This is also me just being very tired. Let's.
I can't think of his name. I thought it was Miguel Castro, but that's not right. That's a different guy.
Yeah. Fantasy year to date. Let's go here. Let's go. Come on. Come on here. Man.
I just look at your team and figure it out too.
I could do that. I'm looking at the wrong team though. I had him on the other team, I think. Sorry, bear with me. This is just awesome, awesome podcasting right here. Cesar Valdez.
That's it. There you go. Cesar Valdez. So they kind of been sucking their guys, but I feel like Tyler Wells actually like might be a pretty decent pitcher. He throws hard. He throws 95. His swing strike rate is 13.8%, 31% strikeout rate, 5.5% walk rate. Like a guy that strikes a bunch of guys, doesn't walk anybody. You know, it's the Orioles. You're not going to get a lot of wins, but had two saves last week. If I had to bet on the next Orioles save, I think they go back to Wells, even though he blew the game against Toronto. And, you know, the other 3 weeks, a team could win 6-7 games, and those saves might be big if you're bunched up. Kind of like your league is with wins. There's other leagues like just like that.
Saves. Yeah, for sure. You know, Cole Sulcer didn't really do anything wrong to lose the job. No. And, you know, when your team loses 20 in a row, I mean, that's kind of hard to get saves.
They did lose 20 in a row, didn't they? And that's not a good run, but
not even. And it wasn't like they were barely losing these games. No. It wasn't like Sulcer was blowing. It wasn't like our Reds or our A's blowing games.
There was one run loss in there.
Yeah, there was
a solitary one, but I think maybe it's more of a thing. Like, I think maybe they want to look at Wells in the ninth inning, kind of see what they got, thinking about next year. But Pittsburgh's an interesting situation right now. They're another team that they've actually had a few wins in there. Chris Stratton has been getting a couple saves lately. David Bednar has been a little banged up. He was not available the last couple of days. Stratton has been better as a reliever. He was not good as a starter, but has kind of built himself up. He's throwing harder. He's throwing 93. Swing strike rate's over 12%. If you're desperate for saves, I think that Stratton is probably the next couple saves as we kind of wait to see if Bednar is going to be back pitching or not.
Sure. You know, it's like, you know, just like a lot of pitchers. Oh, he's throwing harder because he's going max effort. Right.
But if you, I mean, I'm talking 15 teamers on this one, both with Stratton and Wells. If you are, you know, if three saves makes a huge difference to you, I think they're both guys that are, if they're not the guy right now, they're at least, you know, part of a two man thing where they're going to get some save offs.
Yep. I think that's right.
And then the last thing I want to talk about, we talked about a couple weeks ago, Rowan Wick is still 17% owned in the NFBC 12 teamers. He's a guy that's actually really good. He pitched two innings the last couple outings. He's had three saves the last 2 weeks. And the Cubs are kind of, like you mentioned earlier, they're kind of hitting a little bit. Patrick Wisdom has 25 home runs. That was kind of jumped out to me. I have all these guys on my team that don't have 25 all year, and he has 25 already. You mentioned Schwindel, Ian Happ's been back. So they're winning a few games here and there. I think Rowan Wick is clear. They're definitely trying to get a look at him. He pitched a little bit last year as a closing role. I think he's clearly the guy right now in Chicago.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
If you need saves in 12, I know there's like a lot of guys available when we talk about 12 teamers. I don't stress quite as much in the draft about saves just because there's always guys available late in the season. This is an example. I mean, 70% owned for a guy that is clearly in the role is pretty crazy.
Yeah, he's pitching well too.
Yes. I think he's actually a pretty good pitcher too. I think he's probably their closer next year, which is interesting.
They're using him occasionally in two inning outings. Yeah. That could work for you or against you. It depends.
It seems like when they do it, it's like eighth and ninth, which I guess can work too. So,
yep.
Let's talk about some hitter fab. But first, a note from our sponsor, Vivid Seats. The summer is coming to an end, which means only 1 month until postseason baseball. There's no better place than Vivid Seats to watch your team race towards the postseason. So grab your Major League Baseball tickets, maybe a stadium hot dog or two, and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Even better, they have a rewards program designed to provide real rewards for fans. Earn rewards, ticket upgrades, and perks just for shopping. If you're looking for tickets to the game to see your favorite performer or the new show everyone's talking about, Vivid Seats has it all. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. So hitting it was tough this week. I really struggled to find hitters. Brian Dela Cruz in Miami playing every day, hitting .338, 145 plate appearances, only four home runs and a steal. But if you need at-bats, batting average, some runs, playing every day, 40% hard hit rate, I kind of felt like he, in the 15 teamers, he was the most interesting of the outfielders, and it was not a good crop of guys to bid on this week.
No, it wasn't. But what do you expect in middle of September? You know, it's all about like, okay, sort by most at bats in the last 2 weeks, almost basically, and hope that you.
I'm at the point where I do 7 days just because everything changes so much now. I'm just like, Anybody over like 22 at bats, I kind of look at to see if they're remotely interesting. And a lot of them are not. A lot of them hit, you know, 080 over the last 25 at bats. And I'm like, oh, cross him off. But there's De La Cruz. You look at his, in AAA with Houston, he hit 324 and 293 paid appearances, hit 12 home runs. He's a guy who seems to hit well for average. He's been a good batting average guy in the minors since 2018. There's a lot of leagues where batting averages, 0.01 gives you a couple spots. If that's your spot, you've been throwing, guys out there who are hitting 200 or guys who are struggling. I think that De La Cruz is a nice swap out for one of your outfielders who maybe you just kind of left in there because you haven't thought about it, but he's hitting 220.
If the Astros are giving up on a hitting outfielder that's doing pretty well in AAA, go ahead and take a chance on him. It seems to work pretty well.
It's worked out a few times, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Brad Miller, speaking of not young guys who are hitting well, he's eligible at four positions, which right now in the season, that's really important. He gets guys get banged up. Like I had JD Martinez, Friday came out that he was having some back spasms. Like I was able to swap him out in a couple spots, and he's just someone like Brad Miller is eligible everywhere is really key. And this is a very like team specific play. If you need home runs, he's a good guy right now. Batting average is not going to help. He's hit 230, but 18 home runs, hard hit rates over 50%, barrel rates 12.4%. He's clearly swinging and trying to hit for power. It's a clear he's clearly changed his approach to just become a power hitter. If you need power and you kind of have a batting average cushion, you don't really care about that, or you're so bad in batting, it doesn't matter. I think Camilo is a really nice add right now. They face four righties this week, so you can throw him probably out there for most of the week. I think he's pretty usable right now.
Yeah, I would even say, throw bat. I mean, unless you're like super tight in batting average, it's 2 weeks. You throw caution to the wind. I mean, either he hits homers for you or he doesn't. And if he hits homers for you, chances are he's getting a couple other hits mixed in there, and you get your 260 and you move on.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. He's eligible at four positions. I mean, you get to be able to move that guy around like that in these last 3 weeks is very important.
Yep.
A guy we talked about last week, kind of in the Joe Ryan vein, but just noting again, because he's still owned in 12 teamers, Lane Thomas, still leading off every day for the Nationals. He's not hitting especially high, but he's hitting well lately. He has hits in 11 of his last 13 games. He has 14 runs in his last 16 games. We talked about power guys. We talked about batting average guys. Lane Thomas, to me, is a runs guy. If you are, two or three runs is a couple of points in your league. He's leading off every single day. If once he gets on base, he hit a 3-run homer today. I mean, he's averaging almost a run per game over the last 2 weeks. And that is that's big if you're in a tight run spot. It can be a category that's hard to find because everybody hits in the top half of lineups is always taken in leagues.
That's true. Yeah. He faces Alcantara, Luzardo, Taylor Rogers to start the week. I don't love that.
I don't love that either.
Then he gets Colorado, so Freeland, Feltner, John Gray. Okay, maybe that's a little bit better. So it's not the greatest matchup wise week for him there.
And he is right-handed, so I guess he's the opposite hand against Luzardo and Rogers. That helps a little bit.
That's true. But guarantees he'll be in the lineup at least.
Yeah. So I mean, it's just if you need runs, I think he's kind of the prime fab guy right now if you need runs, just because he's leading off every single day. I mean, he's played 20 games in a row all at leadoff. So you're not going to find that on Fab very often because there aren't most of those guys are really good players that are taken. It was in the Brad Miller older player vein. Evan Longoria is back. He is he's playing a good amount for the Giants. Not playing quite every day, but 55% hard hit rate. And when he's playing, he's hitting the ball hard. He was really good early in the year before he got hurt. 14% barrel rate, 11 home runs. I think it's just a spot here where if you need runs and RBIs, he's hits in a really good lineup. He's going to score runs. He's going to drive in runs just based on the fact there's guys around him that will drive him in or be on base. Feels to me like he's a runs RBI category kind of play for me right now.
Yeah. He hasn't been able to stay on the field, but when he has played, he's got a 925 OPS going into today.
Crazy, right? Like he's been really good when he's played.
Yep.
I don't know what they'll do in the playoffs. I don't know. I guess they'll keep mixing and matching. They have a lot of guys in a lot of different spots, which is
right. That's what they do.
It's really worked, and it's worked really well for them.
Yeah, that's what they do best.
Last hitter, if you are struggling at catcher, which a lot of us are, if you picked up Keibert Ruiz, he hasn't really done a lot. If you need someone else, James McCann is back and playing a bunch. He's hitting only 239. He doesn't have a lot. He hasn't done a lot, but someone that I think is if you're hoping to get hot for 2 or 3 weeks, you mentioned like it's 2 or 3 weeks. We've seen James McCann catch fire. Solid hard hit rate, 41%, down a little bit from the last couple of years, but 5 RBIs over the weekend. I think he feels like maybe you got a chance to run to a hot streak where you don't really have that with a lot of the catchers that are rostered.
Yeah, that's right. It's so hard to find guys that are even playing, let alone playing that have some sort of ceiling.
Yeah, and he was only like 70% rostered in the main event. And it was way lower than that in 12-teamers. So he's someone that was actually available this weekend. And finding catchers is not easy. It's always difficult. If you find one, hang on to them. I added Mike Zunino in the main event. It's actually been really, really key for me. It helped me in, home runs. Obviously, never hit for batting average. But I think, what does he have, 28 home runs or something like that?
That's crazy. And you just want to find a catcher that helps you in one category. That's all.
Right. Yeah, just give me someone that doesn't hurt me across the board. He has 29 home runs.
That's great.
How many RBIs do you think his 29 home runs come with?
50.
That's a good guess. 56.
Yeah. I mean, you ask the question, you frame it like that, of course, it's going to be.
Yeah, but I mean, he hit ninth for a lot of the year, so you know he's probably not the best OBP guys on right in front of him. But I don't know, 29 home runs is a spot that it's one category he's been really, really good in, which is very helpful.
Indeed.
If it wasn't for Salvador Perez, he could make a run at the most home runs for a catcher. But Sal Perez has blown that out of the water.
Different universe.
Anybody else fab wise you guys are picking up or really looking at? I feel like I kind of hit all the fringy names, but is there anybody else that you guys really really wanting to grab this week?
No, not really.
Yeah, there really wasn't a ton out there. But you know, these are guys that if you can get, like you said, you can get hot for 2 or 3 weeks. Players that you don't expect can really help you. I had Gregor Blanco a couple years, about 5-6 years ago, scored 4 runs the final weekend and won a league for me. So it's those no name guys could do it because they're playing, they're getting at bats, they're, you know, these are still major league hitters and they can help you out in a certain category. I tried to break it down into certain categories that people are attacking, but hopefully that helps out a little bit.
Exactly.
Blake Snell left today's start after 11 pitches. Can you throw him next week? I don't think you can. He left with left adductor tightness. I don't think you can risk him this week if you have him on your roster.
Just a shame too, because he's pitching so well lately.
He finally was. He seemed like he really figured something out about 6 weeks ago, and he's been a different pitcher.
He has. San Diego, man, they're tough schedule marches on. 4 games on the road in San Francisco this week at St. Louis, another team that they're competing directly with for a playoff spot. Jeez. They come
the Giants
home
again.
Oh, they get Giants and the Braves next week. It's a ludicrously difficult schedule.
I'm sure that's breaking your heart right now.
Yeah, we'll lose 2 out of 3. We can lose that 2 out of 3 so fast it can make your head spin to anyone right now.
Our Reds play the Dodgers next weekend. That's not an easy series, but
Pittsburgh, the Pirates.
Pittsburgh Dodgers pitcher. Pittsburgh is pretty good though.
Yeah, and then 4 games against the Nats. Aha! Can't lose 2 out of 3 there. It's the Eddie Murphy meme.
What do you mean? You never heard of rainouts?
Yeah, chew, pipe down.
Yeah, they'll make that up, so you'll be good. But so you gotta you gotta sweep Pittsburgh, beat LA once. So you gotta go 4-2 this week and then win 2 out of 3 against Pittsburgh. So that would go 6-3 over the next 9. That's the goal.
It is. It's a good goal.
You'd sign up for that.
I'm
right
very
now.
Extremely skeptical that'll happen, but yes, I'd sign up for that immediately.
You'd sign up for 6-3 for sure. 5-4, I don't think gets it done with 6 games against Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I'd agree with that.
Although you just read San Diego's schedule, so maybe it does get it done. But
St. Louis is involved, though, too, and so is Philly. And so are the Mets.
They are. Did you watch any of the Mets-Yankees game tonight? That stuff was crazy.
It was crazy. You know,
Lindor hit 3 bombs in that game.
Yep. He pulling everybody into next year.
He finally got his Mets moment. It took a while, but he finally got one.
It's like having the worst round of golf that you've had in a long time and then still getting a birdie somewhere in the back, not like the last couple of holes. You're like, yep, I can still do it.
I feel that, but for me, it's like a par on the last couple of holes does the trick.
Yeah, well, me too, usually.
I can't venture into the birdie range.
Not going to lie.
JD Martinez, not great. He was scratched on Friday, back in the lineup on Saturday, got scratched again, then missed today with back spasms. Not what you want out of your big power hitter. The Red Sox do play tomorrow, so we should get some news on it. They do play on the West Coast, though, so hopefully we get a lineup pretty soon. But that's one. They play 3 games. They have an off day on Thursday. I'd need to see him in the lineup tomorrow to play him, I think.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah. Tim Anderson is expected back on Tuesday for the White Sox. It's going to be an interesting one because he's back, and I think you have to play him. But they have such a big lead. I don't know if they don't give him every third day off for a while because he was just that leg soreness just wasn't going away.
Yeah, and he may not run either.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. I can't, you know, maybe mix it in here and there, but I can't imagine they're going to be wanting him to run too much. And they have I think they have 8 games the week after because they have a doubleheader with Cleveland. I have to think they're going to give him every third or fourth day off.
I'd agree. I think it's almost certain.
Brandon Woodruff missed his start today with a stomach issue. Sounds like he's fine, though. He's going to start on Wednesday. Obviously, you just start him and don't worry about the face.
Same thing as the White Sox, though. I mean, if there's any reason to not play someone, they will not play someone.
And we've seen it with Freddie Peralta. He's throwing 3 innings every start. I think that's 3 in a row now. And it's just, you look at your lineup like, how do I not start Freddie Peralta? He's so good. And then you realize that he's going to throw 3 innings, and it's tough.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you throw him this week? He has 1 start against Detroit. What do you do with Peralta?
I mean, how important are your ratios? 3 innings of good ratios and Ks might be good enough.
Yeah, that's hard to use a spot on, though. Like, I think I'd almost rather take like a really good setup guy and hope that I get a win or a save.
I was just going to say, you really have to not care about wins at all.
You obviously, it's physically impossible if he goes through to get a win. So there's that. I mean,
unless they use an opener in front of him.
They could do that. I wouldn't object to that at all.
Let's give him the Yarbrough treatment.
Yeah. Jake Cronenworth is a tough one. He fractured his left ring finger. He is not going on the IL, but they have not given an actual timetable. It seems like maybe they're going to try and have him just play through this and see where they land, because they're just right in the mix of it and they can't lose him for 10 days. But at least they play tomorrow. You can see if he's in the lineup. But that's going to be a tough one for me to throw out there, I think.
I agree. It's a really bad spot. That's
fun for them too, because he's their 3 hitter and he's been kind of a rock for them all year.
Right. You know, they had this weekend, they got swept by the Dodgers, and you know, it was one of those where Manny and Tatis were doing their thing and nobody else was.
Yeah. There's been a bunch of that on San Diego this year. Between Myers and Tommy Pham, they've had a lot of guys that haven't really had big years that they needed to kind of support Tatis and Machado.
Yeah, that's right.
Rowdy Tellez, if you have him anywhere, I did. He's out 2 weeks with a strained patella, so he's an easy drop with 3 weeks left in the season. Edmundo Sosa with the Cardinals, kind of coming on a little bit. He's been picked up a lot of 15-teamers. Hasn't played since Wednesday due to wrist pain. I don't want to mess with that as a hitter. I think he's a drop for me right now, too.
Yeah, probably so. I mean, he even when he's at the height of his powers, he's probably not even playing every day even then.
Yeah, and he was just like, he was kind of warm for a little bit, but not someone that I'm going to hold through any sort of injury at this point of the season.
Right.
Michael Brantley left early Saturday with a knee issue, sat on Sunday. The Astros I'm going to go ahead and call them, they can sit who they want to. I don't think anyone, Seattle or Oakland's gaining 6.5 games on him in 3 weeks. So they're another team that they have no reason to really push anybody at this point.
Yep. Not going to make any snide remarks about calling races or anything, but yeah, I think you're right.
6.5. Yeah. I mean, it's not done, but I think it's done. When you look at the teams involved, I'm pretty cool to call that one done.
Yeah, me too.
Speaking of the Astros, Zach Greinke coming back with his off the COVID IL. Sounds like he's going to start on Tuesday. Again, I think you have to throw him. I mean, he's lined up for two. I guess they're 6-man rotations. He's only lined up for 1 start, but I don't know how deep he's going to go in that game. Again, they have no reason to really push him more than 3 or 4 innings, I would think, on his first start back.
Yeah, the Astros are just really, really, really deep. I mean, it's a problem for us. It's not a problem for them. Urquidy can go short. You know, Greinke could go short. Odorizzi could go short. All 3 could. And they'll have Christian Javier. Okay, fine. Boom. No problem.
I hear Odorizzi really likes when he gets taken out early.
Yeah, I want to get some comments from him on that one there.
Yeah, I hear he takes that very kindly.
Yeah.
You mentioned Chris Bassett earlier. Good news there, at least in him. He's actually seems to be doing pretty well. He threw 30 pitches in a bullpen session. He did an interview on the A's broadcast. I was watching Glenn Kuiper, who's the A's play-by-play guy, said, if I said that in 10 days you're out there starting a game and throwing 3 or 4 innings, do you think that's workable? And he said, yeah, that's my goal right now. So it sounds like you might get 2 starts out of him, but I don't think they're going to be deep. I mean, he said he's still kind of stretched out, but he's not pitching 6 or 7 in either of those starts, I would imagine.
No, I doubt it too. And you know, as you alluded to, our A's are 3 games out in the wild card.
Yep.
They really need him. You know, they really need to do something to make a run. Say if they just they struggle this week at KC, at the Angels. I mean, it should be a week where they gain some ground, but you know, stranger things have happened. They could just shut it down on Bassett after this week if, like, say they dropped to 5 games out of the wild card.
Yeah, I think that's very true. If they go 2-4 this week or something, and you know, Toronto and Boston win a bunch of games, I think that they will be on the verge of like it's not worth not worth ramping his arm back up. If they gain a couple games, yeah, I think they'll do it. But I think that's a really good point. I think that it'll depend on how this week goes.
Yep.
Couple players I want to ask you before we get out of here, just with 2022 draft price in mind. Where do you think we're doing with Kyle Tucker? He homered on Sunday, is now hitting 293, 25 home runs, 13 stolen bases across 487 plate appearances. This guy's K rate's down to 16%. Swing strike rate's under 10%. Hard hit rate's up to 48.5%, 11.8% barrel. Feels like all his stuff is trending in the right direction. Maybe the line is really good this year, but you feel like maybe there's another level there. My concern, I guess, would be that the stolen bases, he only attempted 14 this year. He's only been caught once. So he's really efficient, but I just think that Houston, they don't really need him still. They're not really a team that wants their guys to run a ton. You know, Altuve right. did in the past, but they the last 4 or 5 years, they've kind of limited the running game a little bit. Is he an early second rounder next year? Does he sneak into the first round? Where do you think we're talking Kyle Tucker?
Probably early to mid second round. I mean, he's probably going to end up being a 30-15 guy with a good batting average and obviously good counting stats. Give me that all day for my second round pick. I'll take the 15 stolen bases and think that that's plenty fine.
And with some like actual room, like where if he gives you his line again, you're cool with that. But there is you can definitely see some upside that he has a couple of blow up years coming.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is kind of what you want from someone in that range. What about Ozzie Albies? He's someone that we talked about in the past. You know, he was kind of like he got all his stats because he played so much, but he's broken out of that. He has 28 home runs, 17 stolen bases. He has 91 runs and 94 RBIs. He's going to go 100-100 this year. He's only hitting 256, which is like the one. And even that's not really a bad average anymore, but that's the one spot he's not really helping you. Where do you think we're looking at Albies next year when we're looking at drafts?
Late second again. I think it's probably more of the same. You have to maybe deal with the batting average. Saw off a little bit there, but hey, he's doing this without Acuna, Ozuna. I'm not the biggest lineup. You know, the biggest protection guy in the lineup, but at the same time, he did a lot of this when he was carrying the team.
Yeah, he was there. It's pretty much been him, and there's a wild stretch where it was him and Freeman, and it was like nobody. I mean, I guess Austin Riley's been really good too. I mean,
he's amazing.
And Swanson had some streaks in there, but you know, Albies, Riley and Freeman have been carrying this team. But I was a little surprised that his counting stats are that high. I knew he had all the runs, but the 94 RBIs jumped out to me. I didn't think it was gonna be quite that high when I looked.
90-90 in 138 games. That's impressive.
Yeah, 100-100, which is, I mean, that's when you get guys that get 200 combined there, that's really big. He's not a big hard hit rate guy. I don't think he's ever gonna be, but a career high barrel rate this year. He's clearly making better contact. Fly ball rates up, and that's probably accounts for the increased home runs and the decreased batting average. I think this is kind of his profile. He's kind of selling out a little bit more for home runs, and it probably works fantasy wise.
Yeah, I think so.
Last guy I want to ask you about before we get out of here. Jared Kelnick is fascinating in terms of what we do with him in drafts next year. I think there's always going to be someone that's going to want him more than me. Hit his 10th home run today, so he's coming around a little bit, but still, we're looking at 166 over 301 plate appearances. It's not like he's had like 80 plate appearances, 300 plate appearances in the majors, hitting 166. K rate's 29%. It was 15% at AAA. So there's got to be an in-between there at some point. He's got to settle in, I think, at a number. I don't think he's a 29% strikeout guy, but hard hit rate's only 38%. So it's not like he's mashing the ball while he's striking out a bunch. He's still 22 though. A, what do you do with him next year? B, where the heck does someone like that go in the draft, do you think, next year?
There will always be something that wants to buy back in on him, I feel like.
I feel the same. I think there's going to be someone that's going to be like two rounds before I'm ready to think about it.
I might be him in some places. We'll see. You're talking about lessons learned. I think we are so eager to find, you know, the next guy. I think we overrated him and anybody else that was tearing up in spring training or tearing it up in AAA. I think there'll be that dynamic a little bit again next year, too.
The interesting thing, the way you bring that up too, like the Bobby Witt Jr. thing has been fascinating this year because I think we mentioned it a couple weeks ago, but his percentage rostered in all these leagues like never really went down that far, which means that whoever has him in the main event has just kept him all year long. That's not been a dead spot for a couple months. It's been a dead spot for 6 months.
Yeah, that's right.
And he kept hitting home runs. And you're like, I can't drop him now. I can't drop him now. I can't hold him for 3.5 months to drop him now and someone else gets him. But I mean, you've been playing with a six-man bench your entire season.
Yeah, that's right. And
That affects who you can pick up. That affects who you can start, who you can stream, who you can match up, who you can, what closer you can stash. That affects a lot when you have a seven-man bench in an FBC. Like having one of those spots dead, 14% of your bench the entire year. I mean, that's massive.
It is. It is really massive. But you know, everyone is like so scared. Like, okay, what if I drop him and someone else picks him up and he goes off? It's a nightmare. So maybe that's a lesson. Is, you know, maybe push. As much as we're really interested in these prospects, maybe push them down just a little bit.
Or I wonder if the lesson is if you get to like May 15th, just cut bait and be okay with it. And just,
And
you just can't, you can't do All-Star break. You can't do September. I mean, because you maybe you just have to pick a date if he's not up. But I get it. He was hot. And you're just like, you could feel like it could be any moment. But the fact that Modesty wasn't playing and they never called him up is probably pretty good indication they were not hurting.
Which also, it's also suggests that we need to downgrade their draft costs too.
Yeah, no, I agree there too. I usually do anyway, just because I hate starting with someone like that. It has to be at a discount in a spot where I'm like, if I need to drop this by, like, if you use an arbitrary date May 15th, I'm okay with it. Whereas if that's a 14th round pick, I'm not okay with that. But if it's a 25th round pick, I'm gonna probably drop that player anyway. So maybe I can do it. But it's got to line up pretty perfectly for me to jump in on someone like that.
Yeah. Speaking of Modesty, he's on a massive slump right now, but yet. He's stolen 7 bases in 18 games before Sunday's game too. So he is kind of providing some things, but 2 walks, 25 Ks. He's going to continue to be just a hot button guy to debate next year.
He is. He's hitting the ball hard. He didn't do that in the past. I mean, it's only, we're talking 70 plate appearances or whatever. So he's hitting the ball hard a little bit. He's got 6 home runs in that stretch. He's got 7 stolen bases. We talk about a guy that there's always going to be someone taking him before me. I mean, that's pretty much Mondesi to a T for me.
Yeah.
Like if he had a draft where he slipped a little bit, I need the steals, but it's never going to happen. There's always going to be someone that's going to be like, what if you double up? I don't know. You double up 2018 and he goes 2860. I think there's always going to be someone's going to take him before I'm ready to do so.
Yeah. Especially, if he finishes like these last 2 weeks strong, say if he gets up to 10 homers, say if he gets up to like 15 stolen bases, or like, look, he did this all in short sample. Yep. Just imagine what he could do over the course of a whole season.
Yeah,
course of a whole season never happened though.
It's the he's a league winner kind of stuff, and I just
there's
probably going to be a year at some point in his career where he's going to massively blow up and stay healthy and play 140 games. But he's never played more than 102, and he's played more than 75 once. So I might get beat by him 1 year, but I'm probably okay with all the other years that I won't get beat by having him on my team. So
if he gets to the mid third round, are you interested?
Probably not.
Then you're probably not going to get him. That's my guess.
I'd probably be mid fourth round. I'd probably have to really think about taking a shot there.
Yep, sounds good.
Sounds like your cat is ready for us to be done. I think that was your cat that just talked to us. So
yes.
Thanks everybody for watching, tuning in, listening, rating and reviewing, etc. We have a couple more weeks of this. We really do appreciate everybody listening all season long. I know it's a little bit of a grind here at the end of the year and it's tough to find guys, but I think there's still some value in trying to attack some of your categories and talk some strategy here. So thanks everybody for listening both this week and all season long. If you want to follow Jeff on Twitter, he's at Jeff_Erickson. I am at Scott Jenstead. We are both answering football, baseball, golf, basketball questions on Twitter if you have any, or just chatting about stuff too. I'm usually complaining about Raheem Mostert getting injured, so if you can mute me for that. But other than that, we'll have some good chats. But other than that, thanks everybody for listening. Please rate or review if you get a chance. We want to thank WinBet for their sponsorship both this week and all season long. Other than that, we'll be back at you next Sunday night talking about the last 2 weeks of the season. So hope everybody has a great week and take care.